Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I got to share this by way of testimony. I want you to be encouraged. Listen. I know that you maybe had family events last night. No problem. It was an extra night, but we had our candlelight service, our Christmas Eve service, and it was amazing. It was amazing. If you took everybody that was there, I don't think you could fit them in this middle section. There were people here. I don't know who some of those people were. They saw the sign, candlelight service, saw for a week or two. They showed up. A lot of our people were here, but there were a lot of visitors. 9 salvation decisions last night. And you know what? I don't say that to make you feel guilty if you weren't here. I know they're family time. I understand that. It was a Saturday night, Christmas Eve. So I'm not doing that. I want to encourage you. Man, I'll tell you what. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. And it works. And it really is what Christmas is all about. And I was thinking about this morning. I counted up the years. I've been here 35 years. For 28 years, we did not do a candlelight Christmas Eve service. For 28 years. There's a medical term for that. It's called big dummy-itis. And I was guilty. Man, I had it for 28 years. I got thinking, you know, and for whatever reason, it just happened in the middle of the week, and let's do a candlelight service on Christmas Eve a few years back. And man, it has been fruitful every single year. We ran out of programs last night. We ran out of little holders for the candles last night. I mean, it was just a wonderful service. There were people here from the community last night, people from outside the area, family members that came, and 9 professions of faith. God is good. God is extremely good to us. A week ago, I preached on the Magi, preached on the wise men. My outline was pretty simple. I don't know if you picked up on it or not. Although the wise men traveled far, Jesus traveled farther. Although the wise men sacrificed great riches, Jesus greater. Although the wise men offered big gifts, Jesus bigger. We worship a wonderful God. And when we read last week in Matthew in chapter 2 and read of the Magi that came from the east, and they traveled west and they followed the star, and they brought with them a great caravan and a military escort, and they weren't there at the stable. They were sometime after that. In fact, Jesus was in the house when they came to him, and they offered him great gifts, and there was so much Bible truth there. These wise men were Bible students. They read the Old Testament prophecies. They read some of what Daniel had to say. Some of the prophecies out of Micah that was 700 years before the birth of Christ, that Jesus, excuse me, would be born in Bethlehem. And so they were Bible students, and they came to worship the King, the baby King. Let's look this morning at Luke in chapter 2 and trust that it will be a blessing to you. The Bible's rich. In fact, the Bible is a storehouse of truth that you cannot afford to ignore. We got a book that's the book of God. And in that book of God, he tells us how to be born into his family, how to live successfully after being saved, after being born again, how we are to live and treat those around us and grow in grace. It's all right here in the book. And I'll say it again, the Bible is a storehouse of truth that you cannot, using monetary terms, excuse me, you cannot afford to ignore the Word of God. Not in the culture in which we live. Not in the day in which we live. Luke in chapter 2, would you stand with me? I would like to read just a little bit. Luke in chapter 2, it's the classic story, the Christmas story that so many read so many different times during the Christmas season. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and God, we ask that you would just take over in this service. Thank you for your many blessings. God, 8 people were saved last week, and 9 were saved last night. Help us never take the power of the gospel for granted, the message of salvation. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would take over in this service this morning in a way that arrests all of our attention. And we would read the Christmas story perhaps like we've never read it before. Save souls, strengthen your church, help our faith to get bigger. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Caesar Augustus is the emperor, the Caesar of Rome. A man named Cyrenius is the governor of a region, the lesser region of Judea. The Caesar made an edict sometime before that all of the world would be taxed. There was to be a census. Everyone was to return to his hometown, his home city. Joseph was of the lineage of David. So therefore, he needed to go to the city of David, the house of bread, that'd be in Bethlehem. While they were there, coincidentally, no, that's not the right word. Bible prophecies, God in his power and in his sovereignty had Bible prophecy coincide with the edicts of Caesar of Rome. All at the perfect time. In due time, we read in Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4. It says here in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, the inhabited world, the known world at that time, should be taxed, registered, a census, so they would be able to be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph, he was of the tribe of Judah, the house and lineage of David. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Hey, this is the Christmas story, but this just came into my mind just now. I am extremely upset with America because of a UN decision that America decided to endorse with silence. It is now illegal for Jews to pray at the Wailing Wall. And I think it's all going to change real quick, but man, I'll tell you, what is America doing? And the Jewish settlement, what is America doing? We've got to be a friend to Israel. Even if Israel isn't always right and it's secular Israel today, I understand that, but the promise is still true. God said he'd bless those that bless Israel and he'd curse those that curse Israel. What are we thinking? Okay, let's go back to the Christmas story. I had to get that off my chest. It's been burning. I've been telling people about it all week long. People don't even know what's happened. So are you kidding me? Okay, I got a little angry there. Verse 5 says, to be taxed with Mary, let's get all smiles again. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Hey, that word espoused, we just can't fly over that. Jesus was born of a virgin, of a maiden virgin. She was espoused to Joseph. In Jewish terms, that was a legal marriage, but the man did not touch the woman for 12 months. For 12 months, it would coincide, in a way, in our American culture with an engagement, but not quite exactly the same. At the end of the espousal period, at the end of the 12 months, there was a week-long festival. And at the end of that festival, then the man and the woman would come together. You need to understand this, in spite of what liberals are saying and have been saying for years, Jesus was not the son of an illegitimate German soldier. What a bunch of foolishness. What hogwash that is completely and diametrically opposed to the teaching of God's eternal word. Mary was a virgin. Joseph was his father, but not his biological father. But Joseph was of the house and the lineage of David. That, of course, is important as well. But Mary was a virgin, and that which was conceived in her, the Bible tells us, was of God. It was a miracle birth. Was of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had an earthly father, a biological earthly father, then he did not have the blood of God. But he had the blood of God flowing in his veins. So that when the blood atonement was made on Mount Calvary 33 years later, when the blood was shed there on Golgotha's mountain, the very Lamb of God, it was the blood of God that was spilt. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. So that's a very important doctrine, all wrapped up in that word espoused, verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So that is the setting for the Christmas story. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She was great with child. I say this not mockingly at all. She was as big as a house. Man, the baby was going to be born. They were in a desperate situation. All the plan of God. There are no coincidences in the will of God. Things don't just happen and surprise God. God wasn't caught by surprise with this event. And oh man, the baby's coming. And what are they going to do? They're still traveling. What are they going to do? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The inn. No room there. So baby Jesus was brought into this world in a barn, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. There were no kings there. There was no great crowd. There were the animals there in the barn. And soon to be, there would be the shepherds. There was Mary and Joseph. They both knew this is a miracle birth. Prophecy, over 100 prophecies were fulfilled at the birth of Christ. The Bible's real. The Bible's accurate. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Are you there? Let's go to another passage now. We'll come back to that in a moment. Isaiah 7:14. I want to do this in proper order so that we don't kind of get all mixed up as far as a timeline. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Those of you that are smart, you'll remember that Galatians passage and maybe put your finger there or a bookmark or your ink pen or something because we're going to come back to that in a few short moments. Unmistakable sign, Isaiah 7:14. None of this was by accident. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The interpretation of the name Emmanuel is God with us. The angel gives us that interpretation in the New Testament. But notice it says hundreds of years before, here's the sign. Here's the sign for the coming Messiah. He will be born of a virgin. She'll bear a son. And she'll call his name God with us. Emmanuel. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Would you turn there? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Written on many a Christmas cards. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, a forever God. He did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. He is God the Son who took on the robe of flesh that he might be the sacrifice for our sins. Turn back now to Luke in chapter 2. Luke and chapter 2. Let's pick up reading with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Bedouin shepherds, minding their own business. Simple, hardworking men on the hills of Judea in the early, early morning hours. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I don't know how the mind of God worked in this. I don't know. I don't pretend to know the mind of God. He is so far above you and so far above me that we could never understand. But it was like, here's the baby Jesus. He's born, newborn, and they wrap him in swaddling clothes, and they lay him in a manger, and he's got hay for a bed, and there's maybe some oxen and maybe a donkey. Who knows? Maybe a camel. I don't know what was there. Maybe some chickens walking around. I have no idea. But it's like God the Father said, someone's got to know. And he sends his angels. And he sends them to some of the hardest working, simplest people in the region. Not well dressed. Not dignitaries. Not kings. Not princes. Not priests. Verse 8 says, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I guess so. A little bit of Shekinah glory. A little bit of the presence of God. The sky lit up. Angels everywhere singing glory to God, making a glorious announcement. He's come. The Messiah. He has come. The angels are afraid. You'd have been afraid. I'd have been afraid. Fallen flat down. I'd have fallen flat down on my face in the dirt. What in the world is going on? The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Don't be afraid, fellas. I've got good news. In fact, I've got great news, and it's going to impact every generation and the entire world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He says to the shepherds, these simple men, unto you is born this day in the city of David. They knew that was Bethlehem. A Savior. Oh, thank God for that night. Thank God for the incarnation. Thank God for God visiting this earth and providing a Savior. He who was promised in Genesis and chapter 3, a Savior. What do we need a Savior for? I'm going to work my way to heaven. You're a fool. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, you can't work your way to heaven. You need a Savior. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Little Bethlehem, not a thriving city of 50,000 like there is there today, but a little village of under 1,000. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Mortal man, you and I cannot even begin to think of that song. The angels sang, the sweetness of it, the power of it, the purity of it. Could you imagine hearing these angels from horizon to horizon glorifying their King? Not their Savior, their King, their Creator, their God. They know how to worship. They know how to praise God. And they do it in purity. And they sing in holiness, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The angels are finally gone. Maybe they get up off of their knees, the shepherds, they climb up out of the dirt. They kind of come to their senses and they look at one another and they say, hey, let's go check it out. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the king, this thing that the angels have told us about. Now go to Galatians in chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. This all happened by proclamation of God, by edict of God. It was God ordained. God gave everything that happened that night in Bethlehem, all that led up to it, and all that happened after, it came by the sovereign will of God. It just so happened? No. God ordered it. Look what it says in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God is never early and God is never late. At the perfect time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You understand what Christmas is all about? You understand what the incarnation is all about? It's not about lights. It's not about Christmas carols. It's not about mythology. It's really not even about American traditions and American customs. It's about Jesus. It's about God visiting this earth. It's about God making a way, a mediator, an advocate, a way for man, for sinners, to get to his heaven. We who were under the law of God, sinners, we've broken the law of God. We've transgressed the law of God. We've broken the Decalogue into a million unidentifiable pieces. We need a Savior. And at the perfect time, fulfilling all those messianic prophecies, the Son of God visited this earth by way of becoming a baby to redeem us. What a blessed truth. I saw a commercial on TV. I was watching a ball game. Played by blood boil. I believe we need to be good stewards of the earth. I believe we ought not to be mean even to animals. I'm thank God for animals. They taste good. I'm glad for that. But I know people have pets and so on and so forth. I know some of you have seen that this very same commercial. They show little shivering kitties and play Silent Night. That's not what it's about. Now, don't get mad at me if little Fifi is very precious to you. I'm glad you got little Fido or whoever she is or he is, but they're animals. Not created in the image of God. We need to be good to animals that are around us. But that's not what life is about. That's not what Christmas is about. Jesus came. He's the reason for the season. Let's go back to Luke in chapter 2. I got some of you mad at me right now, especially some of you older people. What is it about older people? They get older and they get little tiny dogs and little tiny, you know, just, I don't know. I'm not there yet, but, you know, I'm close. And I love animals. I truly do. I do. All right. I can watch Old Yeller, and I cry at the end of it. Oh man, stupid animal. Okay, let's get back to the text now. All right. It's not what Christmas is about. There was an investigation here. All right. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass that when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They obeyed right away. There was direct obedience. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, the barn in Bethlehem. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They couldn't keep it a secret. They went back and said, I found him. We found him. The Messiah, the King. He's over there in Bethlehem. We found him. I saw him with my own eyes. Man, it was a sight. There was just something that was different there. There was a peace and there was a holiness. And the angels told us where to look. And we found him. We ought to be doing the same thing today in our culture. If you got born again, if you were adopted into the family of God, you ought to go everywhere saying, man, I found him. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me. The best friend I've ever had. His name is Jesus. And when I found him, here's the great news. I found out he was looking for me. We love him because he first loved us. That's what the scripture says. You and I found out that there was a Savior, a God in heaven that's compassionate, and he loves sinners, and he's made a way not only for you and for me to go to heaven, but for every man and woman and child on earth. And it's our job, our responsibility to get out and spread the good news. The shepherds were little; they were simple, hardworking men. They weren't educated, but they knew enough to tell everybody about the Savior. We have got to do the same thing. Don't get all caught up in just being part of church. I said in Sunday school this morning, I heard it just this last week. Oh, that church over on M80, the rich church. And here's what was said. You must get a lot of denominational money. I said, are you kidding? We are an independent Baptist church. We don't get money from any denominational headquarters anywhere. We get our wherewithal, we get our blessings directly from God. Pure and simple. And we're not a rich church. I think I better say that on the radio. Now, people go by and they see the big parking lot and the buildings and activity every day of the week. Every day of the week, something going on. Sometimes Friday's a little light. Sometimes Saturday's a little light. But, I mean, this parking lot is busy with people. There's things going on all of the time. They see the buses. They probably see the average. Oh, we advertise on TV. That's right. I forgot. We are the rich church. No. The electronic sign out front. People came last night because of that sign. You know what? But we're not rich. We have the riches of heaven at our disposal, though. God is good. You know, any prosperity that's been going on here, it's from the hand of God. Period. It's not from any man, any denomination, any organization. It's right from God. How in the world did I get that from the Christmas story? Let's go back to the text. Luke in chapter 2. Oh, spread the word. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You share the gospel. You tell people about Jesus and people are going to wonder, man, what's it all about? I wonder if that's real. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Story's not over. We don't have time. We're actually out of time already to go any further into the story. But the response of the shepherds, their response was to speak what they knew and to worship Jesus. That's what we need to do. Worship Christ and share the good news of the Savior. He is good to us. He's a wonderful God. I want to say this. If Christ is the focus of your Christmas, it will not be an empty day. It will not be just another day on the calendar that you live out and is gone. If Christ is the focus, you worship Him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.